Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me may not be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build a tower, but was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he first not sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, if any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for soil nor for the manure heap. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, Colin's already prayed for us, and so we'll carry on, which is great. We said at the beginning, when we were building this wall, that I hadn't thought it through very well, and I hadn't weighed it up really what was needed. And so we said, we need to think about it. We need to think about, Jesus is saying, you've got to think about what it means to be a Christian, just like I should have weighed up whether I could carry on this wall. You've got to think, well, will I become a Christian? Should I become a Christian? What's involved? How big a thing is it? Now, I wonder how many of you thought, as Katie was reading that, Katie, thank you for reading that for us. I wonder how many of you thought, interesting passage for a Mothering Sunday talk, but have you gone mad? Well, the reason why I say that is because you've got that verse in there, verse 26. Have a little look if you've got your Bible there. Have a little look. That's it. Have a little look, see if you can get inside of a Bible. Verse 26. Interestingly, what does Jesus say you should do to your mother? Can you see what it says there? And not just to your mother, your father, your wife, brothers, sisters. What should you do? Hit me with it. You should hate them. Now, you may think, that's a slightly odd message for a Mothering Sunday. Surely this should be a service where you come in full of warm feelings, maybe, or I know there will be some who struggle today. But you kind of want to go away feeling warm and fuzzy, sort of, particularly if you're a mum. And yet, Jesus is saying, hate your mum, and mums, hate your children. What is he talking about? Well, he isn't actually saying, be hateful towards your mum. He's not saying, go home and poison her dinner or anything like that. Don't do that. What Jesus is doing, he's using the word hate in a particular way. It's a way that we don't normally use the word hate. And I've got a way of showing you what this way of using the word hate is. All right? So, I have in this bag something that you will like. Something you will like a lot. So, okay, what do we got here? Anyone going to tell me? What have we got? An egg. It's not just an egg. I'm not going to give it, you know. It's a Kinder egg, and therefore it's got lovely chocolate. It's got a little toy inside. Who would like this Kinder egg? Thank you, Jen. Thank you for the honesty. That's very good. Okay, hands down for the moment. Okay, I've got something else in here. Okay, now you got this one. Your hand's up straight away at the back. Thank you, Theresa Matty. Now, okay, hands down, well done. Now, I was going to say, who would want this one? Yeah, okay. Now, who would want this one rather than this one? Yeah, me too. Okay, hands down, they're mine. No. I'll share them out at the end. We'll break it up and you can grab some at the end, all right? What Jesus is saying, when he says, hate your mother, brother, sister, that kind of thing, he's not saying actually be hateful to them. He's saying love Jesus more than you love them. So it's a bit like this. If you were to say, initially I said, do you want this? And you said, yeah, I'll have that. And then I said, do you want this? I go, yeah, I want that one more. I want this one more. And what Jesus is saying, is when he says, hey, it's like he's saying, when I got this one out, it's like you hated this one. You don't actually, you're not thinking hateful things towards it. But rather, you're saying, you know what, I'd rather have that one. I'd rather have this one. And that's what Jesus is saying. So when he says in that verse, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, his wife, children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He's not saying you've actually got to loathe yourself, you've got to loathe your mom and dad. He's just saying make me number one in your life. Make me like this Easter egg and your mom like this. It's not hard to look elsewhere in the Bible to see that Jesus did love his mum, and he does actually tell us to love our mothers and fathers and to respect our parents and that kind of thing. So don't go away from this getting the wrong idea. What Jesus is saying is, love me like you love this. Far more, even than you love your mum or your dad, or even your life. I'll come back to this in a minute. So, what Jesus is saying here is, see, we're thinking, what if I do follow Jesus? And Jesus is saying, following Jesus means making him number one. Now, in order to help you remember this, boys and girls, you're going to join me with this. So when I go, following Jesus means making him, could you go, number one? All right? So little practice. Following Jesus means making him number one. That was just a practice. I think we can do it even louder. Ready? Following Jesus means making him number one. Nice. Liked it. Very good. So we'll come back on that. So Jesus is saying, make him number one. The very most important thing in your life. The center of your life. Even more important than your children or your mum or your dad. Let me just show you someone's life. Maybe this is a bit like your life. Maybe it's not. Okay, lots of people have lots of things in their lives. So I did this with someone recently. So where we said, what goes on in your life? Well, there are a whole load of things. So there's family. So you'd spend time at home, don't you? I hope. And you spend time with your mum and dad and that kind of thing. Hobbies. What hobbies have you got? Well, who's here plays football ever? Yeah, okay, any grown-ups? No, all the grown-ups have given up. Yeah, well done, thank you. Any other sports? Anyone play sports? Any other sports? Yeah, you love it. Okay, good thing. What about other hobbies? Knitting. Anyone do knitting? Good on you, well done. Yeah, some knitters. Brilliant. Other hobbies that you might do? You might go, well, yeah, those are parts of my life. School. Anyone go to school? No, okay. Anyone wish they didn't go to school? Okay, all right, put your hands up. But school is a part of many people's lives in this room. Work, anyone go to work? Anyone wish they didn't? No, we won't. Let's not go down that line for everything. TV, anyone like watching TV? Yeah, good stuff, isn't it? A lot of it, not all of it. Friends, you got friends? Yeah, you got friends, great, nice one. Money is another part of your life. I won't put hands up as to how much you got or anything like that. We don't need to be that revealing at this point, do we? You've even brought your money with you. Well done, Sam. Anyone need a loan? There's the guy to go to. Those are all sort of different parts of our lives. And what our tendency is to say, where does Jesus fit into this? That we will go, well, Jesus is just another part of my life. So Jesus sort of sits in there, and I go to church, and maybe I read my Bible and that kind of thing, and Jesus is just a part of my life. I like sort of all the other bits. But actually what Jesus is saying here is, no, that's not being a disciple of Jesus. Doing it that way is not being a disciple of Jesus. He's saying, it's got to be more like this. Jesus is there. That's your life. And everything else fits in around him. So the way that you are at school, or the way you are playing sport, or the way you are with your friends, or where you are with your money, and how you deal with that, is all controlled by saying, actually, no, Jesus is the number one thing in my life. He is the most important thing. And everything else sort of fits in underneath Jesus. Jesus is most important because, as we said, following Jesus means making him... Thank you very much. That's the one. I'll do anything just for my God. Now, that's a big thing. That may be an all-age song where we do funny actions and some did dancing moves and well done. And thank you, Joanne Walpole, for doing those dancing moves so well at that point. But we did, you know, it's a song which has got those kind of actions in. But actually, that's a big point, isn't it? I'll do anything just for my God. That is saying Jesus is number one in my life. I will do anything for him. That's what that's saying. Now, Cara, we need to go back, if that's all right. Cara knows what I mean by that. Okay, so we've just been saying, we've got to think about it. What does it mean to be a Christian? What if I do? What if I become a Christian? And Jesus is saying it means putting him first. Because, as we've already said, following Jesus means making him number one. Now, I just want you to think for a moment. Now, hang on, what does that really mean? If you're not a Christian, what does that actually mean? Just think for a moment. That is saying you will make Jesus the most important, the best thing in your life, the biggest thing in your life. And Jesus was saying, when he told the story about a tower, didn't he? And he said, a bit like our wall here, this is the story Jesus said. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and he's not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and wasn't able to finish. Bit like this. You know, if we came along and we said to people, well, welcome to Emmanuel Church, let me show you around. Here's our wall here that we've just been building. Everyone will go, that's rubbish. As walls go, that's pretty weak. I mean, it's lovely. You guys did a good job. But they'd blame me, wouldn't they? I've given you poor tools and I've not given you enough. And Jesus is saying, if you're not a Christian, you do need to weigh this up. To say, actually, what does it mean to follow Jesus? It means putting him number one. Now, if I were to come to you, if a stranger were to come to you and were to say, you need to make me number one in your life, you would go, that's nuts. I'm not going to make you number one in my life. You're just someone I've never met. And for some people, if you're not a Christian or if you're new to Emmanuel, maybe you hear Jesus say that. You hear Jesus say, actually, you've got to put me number one. And you go, that's enormous. That's a bit like a stranger coming to me and saying, make me number one. I don't know that I can do that. I don't know you. That kind of thing. Well, if you're not a Christian, if you're new to Emmanuel, can I encourage you to find out more about Jesus? Jesus told another story, and it's a brilliant story, and it's only a one-verse story, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a one-verse story, and I love it, and I come back to it over and over again. Says he, not able to find it. But it is a brilliant story. It's going to take me longer to find it than it is to read it. It's that short. This is the story that Jesus says. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And the key word in that is in his joy. He went and sold everything and bought that field so he could have that treasure. Do you see, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, knowing God, is like that treasure. You find it and you think, that is so valuable, so precious, I would joyfully give everything to have that treasure. And the point I'm saying to you, therefore, is if you're not a Christian, what I really want you to see is that Jesus is worth giving up everything for. He is so valuable, so precious. He is worth giving everything you've got to know him. And therefore, what I want you to do, if you're not a Christian, is to pursue Jesus. To investigate him. Find out more about him. Read your Bible. Start in one of the Gospels. Find out more about Jesus. Come on Christianity Explored and find out more. Because if you're a Christian today, you're going to be saying, yeah, he really is worth it. Because following Jesus means making him Thank you. Now, if you are a Christian today, we've got to do a bit of reassessing. We've kind of got to say, is Jesus still number one in my life? Is he actually number one or not? You see, it's easy for other things to crowd in. For some, even though they say they're a Christian, actually Jesus isn't number one in their lives. Because other things can crowd out Jesus. A little indicator can be, what do we let come in that stops us going to church? Now, church isn't the same as Jesus. Devotion to church isn't the same as devotion to Jesus. But it can be a little indicator for us. So, boys and girls, how many of you were in sports clubs? Hands up if you're in a sports club. Not just boys and girls, adults as well. Sports clubs? Yeah, okay, sports, good thing. And we like playing sports. Sports are good. But what if, let's say you're part of a club. And let's say they suddenly decide, Sunday mornings, that's going to be the best time for us to have all our matches. And some clubs do that, don't they? Really annoying that they do that. Well, what's going to give? Which are you going to do? Which is going to be more important to you? Church? Or is it going to be sport? Or other things can crowd in as well. Now, I'm not saying you can never, you know, miss church. I'm not saying that. But if it becomes a sort of ongoing thing where you say, well, you know what, we're never around because this thing's crept in or this thing's crept in, it's just a little indicator, isn't it, to ask yourself, and I can't do this for you, I'm not pointing the finger at it, pointing 10 fingers at everyone, all right? But this is something we all need to do for ourselves to say, actually, is Jesus really the number one in my life? Or has something else crept in and has become number one, even sort of subtly, and I've let it get in there, and I wouldn't want to give that thing up, whatever it is. But it's not just about church. Times with Jesus, reading your Bible, praying, are other things creeping in to put Jesus not in number one place. And I realise I'm missing out one of the stories here. I'm deliberately doing that. I've not done the one about the king. You're going to have to go home, mums and dads, do that one with your children maybe later on. But if you flick down, just cast your eyes down to verse 34. There's something there about salt. What does verse 34 and 35 say about salt if it stops being salty? What do those verses say? Have a look. There. Very good. Anyone want to say? Yeah. It's good to be thrown out. That's all it's good for. If salt loses its saltiness, Jesus is saying, it's useless. It's not worth anything. You can't even throw it on the manure heap, it says, and let it do any good. And Jesus is saying, actually, that's true for Christians. If we say, actually, Jesus is no longer number one in my life, it's saying, well, actually, I'm now no longer salty. Which is interesting, isn't it? Now, maybe there are some here where you want to say, actually, I need to say sorry to God for this. I realise maybe I have put other things in front of Jesus and I need to say sorry to him and I need to change. And I need to put Jesus as number one again because he's slipped. Maybe if you're not a Christian, you need to investigate Jesus and find out why would anyone put him number one in their lives? Now, there is going to be some who are going to say, actually, no, Jesus really is number one. And that's great. We're not all guilty of every problem that there is in the Bible. And that's great if he is. Keep going. I want to pray for us. And boys and girls, mums and dads, others, maybe you need to pray a sorry prayer to God, to say sorry for not putting you number one and to change things. So let's just pray, and I'll pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Jesus says here about putting him as number one. Father, we're sorry where we have got that wrong, where we haven't put Jesus as number one, where maybe we've let other things come in as more important. Father, please help us to change. Please convict us where we've got this wrong. And Father, please help us to put Jesus as number one. Father, for those who aren't yet Christians, please would you help them to see that Jesus is that treasure. He is so wonderful. He is so great. And he is worth putting at number one in our lives. Amen. If you're not a Christian, just one other thing that maybe you might come back on. You might say, well, why put Jesus number one? I want to put my family as number one. I want to put other things as number one. Actually, putting Jesus as number one puts everything else in its right place. It's a bit like, if you've ever seen those toys, I remember them when I was a child, where you had loads of cogs that you'd stick them with Velcro on a board. Have you seen that kind of thing? Where you put cogs on a board, and if you get them right and get them interlocking right, you turn one and they all move. Putting Jesus at number one is a bit like that. It actually puts everything else in its right place. And it ends up you love your children or you love your mum more. What's the best thing you can do on Mother's Day? What's the best thing you can do for your mum? It's love Jesus. Put him number one. What's the best thing you can do for your children? is to love Jesus and put him as number one. I'm going to hand back to Colin.